Please pray with me. Father, we come now before you and your Son to hear from you, to hear you speak to us, and we pray that, Lord, our hearts would be open and able to receive what you have to say. We pray, Lord, we pray that we would have proper, right thoughts of you. We repent of small thoughts, wrong thoughts of you. We pray that you would give us a glimpse and open our eyes to see you as you are and to know you. Know you for who you are and what you've done for us, that, Lord, we might live lives that honor you, we pray. So we lift this time up to you now. In your Son's name, amen.
Amen.
Are you ready for Christmas? Such a question of readiness in relation to the holiday can cause some to go in a frenzy or cause some to even crumble in the sense they think, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to go buy gifts, I need to decorate, I need to bake cookies, I need to send cards, I need to do this, I need to do that. Don't get me wrong, many treasure these traditions, these are good things, but yet, for some, the question of preparedness for the holiday can cause many to crumble, or it can just be another burden to carry. Christmas is one thing. Christ is another. Are we ready for Christ? Such a question of readiness in relation to our Lord and Savior is far more important. And yet, the question can also cause some to go into a frenzy or to get nervous or even to crumble. Oh, I need to stop sinning here. I need to begin doing more good works there. I need to be ready. Are we ready for Christ? Does such a question cause our souls to go into a frenzy? Oh, I need to do this, or I need to do that, or we start to prognosticate about this or that, thinking, are we ready? Or does such a question bring a reassuring calm and confidence to our souls, knowing that Christ has done this, knowing that Christ will do that? Let us realize that it's a legitimate question. Are we ready for Christ? A question that we all have to ask ourselves. Are we ready for the coming of Christ? It was a question our Old Testament ancestors had to ask themselves. God promised salvation to the people of Israel. He promised the coming of the Messiah. And he called them to be ready. We find ourselves in a very similar situation today, do we not? Of course, there are differences, but it's very similar. Christ has promised us salvation. He's promised us that he will return. And he calls us to be ready. He calls his people to be ready. So are we ready? What does it mean to be ready? What does it look like to be ready for Christ? These are the questions I want us to explore this morning. In order to do so, I think as Ken alluded to earlier, Brad and I are trying to follow the lectionary in one way or another this year during Advent season. And for this first Sunday, one of the passages comes from Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. it's there that Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew 24:44, he says, "Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect." Jesus says to his disciples, expect the unexpected. That's always a good general rule in relation to God. Expect the unexpected. He said in verse 42 to them, "Stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." Jesus relates the coming of the Son of Man to the days of Noah. If you look back up in verse 37, he says, "For as the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." When the Son of Man comes, the world will be suddenly shaken awake from a sin-induced stupor. Wake up! Wake up! The party is over. It'll surely be an unwelcome awakening for the world. You've been partying in someone else's place all this time, and you forgot the possibility that he actually might return and claim his property. And you've trashed the place, thinking that somehow you've become the owner. Let's just say this, when the Son of Man comes, it will be an unwelcome awakening for the world. But what about for the church? What about for us? Why do you think Jesus warns his disciples to stay awake, to be ready? It would appear that Jesus' encouragement or warning concerns the timing in some way of the coming of the Son of Man. Again, in verse 42, he says, "Stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." Or verse 44, "Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming on an hour you do not expect." And then in verse 43, we read, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into." So in some way, timing is central to Jesus' words in this passage. But is it essential? Is timing essential for us to stay awake, to be ready? Well, time is central in the passage. Is it essential for us to heed Jesus' warning, his encouragement to stay awake, to be ready? Jesus makes clear in verse 36 that we're ignorant of God's schedule. You see that? He says, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only." So our staying awake, our being ready, is not dependent upon us being able to, in a sense, peek over God's shoulder at his calendar. No. But Jesus does say, again, in verse 43, he says, "If the master had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake." That kind of leads you to think timing has something to do with staying awake. Now, this passage here in Matthew 24, people interpret this several different ways. And you can go in several different directions. And I don't intend to follow any one of those paths necessary this morning. I want us to step back and ask, I believe, what is the most important question for us this morning. The answer: what does it mean to stay awake? What does it mean to be ready. Because this is not the only place in the New Testament that believers are called to stay awake and be ready. What does it look like for us to stay awake and be ready? We want to be ready when Christ comes. We will be surprised when he does. Oh, we'll be surprised. But we don't want to be shocked. We don't want to be unprepared. When he comes, when God comes to claim his rightful place. So what does it look like? Or what does it mean to stay awake? What does it mean to be ready? What does it look like for us to do that? Let's begin by noticing, for whatever it's worth, that Jesus continues on in Matthew 24 using similar imagery. The imagery of households and masters and servants as he used there in verse 43. So he goes on, he says in verses 45 and 46, he says, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." Again, these words come immediately following Jesus' encouragement, his warning to his disciples to stay awake, to be ready. This would imply that staying awake, being ready, relates in some way to the faithful and wise servant. That servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. So simply put, staying awake, being ready, looks a lot like obeying our master's commands. Staying awake, being ready, is not an idle exercise, but implies a certain activity. The activity of being about our master's business. What he has instructed his servants to do. The faithful and wise servant is contrasted with that wicked servant. Do you see that in verse 48? We read, Jesus says in verses 48 through 50, he says, "But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master's delayed,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he does not know." It is that wicked servant whose actions are evil who will be caught off guard when his master comes. It would appear that the wicked servant's evil actions, his beating his fellow servants, his eating and drinking with drunkards, is the equivalent of not staying awake, not being ready, and thus he is caught off guard when his master arrives. So this tells us that to stay awake, to be ready, in some way is indicated by our behavior. Are we doing what our master has commanded us to do? Or are we ignoring his instructions and just doing our own thing like the rest of the world? This would also tell us that if we are ignoring our master's instructions, just doing our own thing, living in some way like the rest of the world, that his coming will be unexpected for us at an hour we do not know. That evil actions, in a sense, put one to sleep. Evil actions are what make us unprepared to live in such a manner. On the other hand, this implies that the faithful and wise servant, the one actively engaged in fulfilling his master's commands, he is awake. He is ready, welcoming the coming. So staying awake, being ready in some way, it relates to what it looks like is obeying our master's commands. The faithful and wise servant obeying his master, is awake, is ready, while the wicked servant, ignoring his master's wishes, doing his own thing, is in a sense asleep, is unprepared. And this will line up, this understanding would line up to, it would appear to line up to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1, I invite you to turn there. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 1, Paul says, "Now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware." That strikes me because Jesus said about the people during the days of Noah that they were unaware. But Paul says here to the believers, you are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. So it's very much like Jesus' portrayal of those during the days of Noah. But here, it's interesting that Paul makes a distinction, a contrast. In verse 4, he says, But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. So we can see here that Paul is using a lot of the imagery that Jesus uses over in Matthew 24, such as a thief in the night or portraying those that were during the days of Noah. And a similar portrayal here, there's those that will be saying there's peace and security and then experience sudden destruction. So he uses very similar imagery and language, but he makes, again, an important contrast. Contrast between those that are living in darkness and those that are in the light, that are children of the day. So notice he gives a similar, but so there are similar, so there are differences between the way that Paul uses the imagery as Jesus did in Matthew 24, but notice that he gives the same encouragement, the same warning. You see that in verse 6 when he says, so then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Again, what Paul says here, keep awake and be sober, reflect Jesus' warnings or encouragements to his disciples. Stay awake and be ready. But notice the Apostle Paul's warnings here. To his encouragement to the Thessalonians, they do not arise from the possibility of believers being caught unaware at the coming of the Lord, but rather the opposite. Once again, he says, but you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. That's not why he said there. You don't know what day it's going to be, or you're going to be caught unaware, is not the reason why he says to them, stay awake, be sober. Rather, he says to them, keep awake and be sober. Why? Because they are children of light, children of the day. And being children of light, children of the day, it is only natural that they keep awake and be sober. Children of the light, children of the day, keep awake and are sober. Children of the light, children of the day, don't fall asleep, ignoring their master's commands. Children of the light, children of the day, do not, or they keep about their master's business. We can think of someone, if they're sleeping all day and they're not sick, something's wrong. Paul's making the same argument here. Do you guys know what time it is, in a sense? Christ has come. The light is here. The day of salvation is here. Therefore, if you're not living in light of that, you're like someone just sleeping during the day. Something's off. Something's off there. What I want us to see is that our keeping awake, our being ready, does not, and again, we do that because of the light, because Christ has come, because it is day. It arises because of what time it is. That Christ has come and that we are children of light, children of the day. So keeping awake, being ready, remaining sober, speaks to our lives. Are they being defined by darkness, the night, this world? Are they being shaped, or are they being shaped by the light, the day, the kingdom of heaven? It's this exact challenge that the Apostle Paul makes elsewhere when he says in Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. He says there, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. So what does it look like to stay awake? Be ready. It looks like people who know what time it is. They know that the night is far gone. The day is at hand. And therefore, they walk properly as in the daytime. What this means is that they put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. In a sense, they get up and they're dressed with Christ rather than just staying in bed all day. So to stay awake, to be ready, means to live your life under the gracious rays of the light of Christ. To stay awake, to be ready, means you're walking in the light that dawned when Christ came and died and rose. This is in fact nothing new. For example, God foretold of his salvation to the people of Israel several times and in multiple ways. He gave them a picture of the glories of the future. One such picture is found in Isaiah chapter 2, as Ken opened the service today by reading this passage. In verses 2 and 3, we read, it shall come to pass in the latter days, the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it, and many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This is a great promise by the Lord of the picture of the future universal blessing of all nations. All nations. And the promise comes with the encouragement. Perhaps you caught it when Ken read it earlier in verse 5. It ends with this encouragement. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. The Lord has promised salvation to his people, and he did it with the call to walk in his light, to walk in the light of his grace and truth. Or you could say the Lord promised his people, I'm coming, and be ready. Don't fall asleep. Be ready for when I arrive. Tragically, many of the people of Israel turned aside. They heard these promises, but they ignored the commands of the Lord and decided to go their own way and to live for themselves. They walked, in a sense, from the light into the darkness, to the extent that the prophet Isaiah, a few chapters later, will say in chapter 5, verse 20, he will say, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Or I think you can perhaps add one here, who call sleeping being awake or awake being asleep. They've switched them. Many of the people of Israel fell asleep. Many of them turned aside and walked in darkness. They bore the name of the Lord, but they lived for themselves like the rest of the world. Perhaps this is why so many were not ready when Christ came. They were shocked, unprepared, not ready for him. They had fallen asleep. They weren't ready. Now we may scoff and say, how could they let that happen? But are we not very much in the same position? Now there are vast differences between where people of Israel were in the Old Testament and where we are today to consider. There are vast differences to consider. But like them, the Lord has promised us salvation. He's promised us that he's going to return, and he's called us to be ready, to walk in his light, to stay awake. What are we going to do? Once again, to stay awake, to be ready, doesn't mean we're just sitting in the church, so to speak, drinking cup after cup of coffee, trying to remain conscious. For when the Lord arrives, we're here. Our Lord, we're here. That's not what it means. It's not what it means. No, staying awake, being ready, is living in the light, putting on Christ, reflecting the character of God, seeking the lost, doing good to our enemies. Staying awake, being ready, looks a lot like Christ. When he was here, glorifying God with lives of holiness, loving sinners with acts of grace. This is not a foregone conclusion. It's not a foregone conclusion. Like Israel, we too can so easily turn aside. We can so easily get used to the darkness. So easily fall asleep. I was reminded this morning as I was preparing of a, I don't know if you're familiar with the music of Keith Green. There was a song he wrote, Asleep in the Light, about the church and calm. But there's always that possibility. We'll either leave the light or that we'll fall asleep in the light. We get so used to our comfortable lives. And we kind of, the call of God, what He is calling us to, isn't the instructions of the Master, kind of get drowned out. We stop kind of hearing them. And it's a kind of a dangerous place to be. So that's why we must hear Paul's encouragement to us, keep awake and be sober. That's why Jesus had to say to his disciples, stay awake, be ready. These warnings, these instructions, these encouragements are for us. We must listen to them. But as I noted earlier, such instructions, such warnings can sometimes make some nervous, or they hear this question and their hearts get nervous. You know, will I remain awake? Will I be ready when Christ comes? When we hear this question, the last thing that we want to do, it's so easy to do, is to look at ourselves. It's the last thing we want to do. Yes, we need to examine ourselves, but so often we look there, and if we look at ourselves, the hope's not there in ourselves. When we hear this question, are you ready for Christ? Are you awake? May we remember that our wakefulness, our readiness, our living in the light, our putting on Christ, our reflecting the character of God, our seeking the lost, our doing good to our enemies, does not originate with us. All of it is response to the fact that God has given us eyes to see the light. He has given us to enjoy the light of day. And being children of light, children of the day, we know, as Paul says later on in 1 Thessalonians 5, God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That our staying awake, our being ready for the consummation of Christ's kingdom, is not to be a nervous ordeal of questioning or preparedness, of prognostication, but our staying awake, our readiness, is to be an expression of life, of activity, of fruitfulness, of gratefulness, to be alive by the grace of God. Listen to these words of, again, the Apostle Paul that come from the end of Titus chapter 2. He says, "For the grace of God has appeared, brings salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age." I bet there's not a better description or definition of what it means to be ready, to be awake in the New Testament than that. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age. He goes on in verse 13, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. So having experienced salvation by the grace of God, it's this salvation that trains us to renounce ungodliness, worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age. If such training is the same as staying awake, being ready, then let us realize that staying awake, being ready, grows out of the grace of God. That it is an expression of us having received salvation. God has given us eyes to see the light, and to know what time it is, that it is the day of salvation. So are we ready for Christ? Are we awake? Such questions are not a call to, in a sense, frantic activity. Oh, I need to do this, I need to do that, or what about this, what about that? And we our minds go this way and that way and everywhere. But let such questions be a reminder to look to Christ, that our readiness begins with Christ and is secure in Christ, His grace and His salvation, that we walk in His light. May the question of our readiness be a reminder to us of what Christ has done. Are you ready? You think you have may God give us a gracious calm in our souls because we think, yes, Christ has done this. Christ will do that. Yes, we're ready. And let us together in joy and gratitude stay awake and be ready until He comes. Amen. Lord, may You come and bring Your word, Lord, to our hearts. And again, give us to know You for who You are. Lord, so often it's so easy to look around and think, oh man, it's so dark here. Lord, remind us that we are children of light, children of the day, that Your Son has come, and He was victorious, and now He stands at Your right hand, and we are secure in Him. And knowing, Lord, that it is the day, and in His light, let us, Lord, stay awake. Let us be ready. Let us live lives, Lord, busy about what You have commanded us to do, out of thankfulness and gratitude to You, we pray. In Your Son's name, amen.
Amen.
Our final hymn this morning is 218.